Good afternoon. This is Tanya Schultz with Social Chats Locals. Today is Tuesday and it's Valentine's Day, and I'm live streaming with my co-host, Marie de Los Angeles, also known as Vice Queen Maria. Hey, Maria.
Hey, Tanya. Happy Valentine's Day.
Well, happy Valentine's Day to you, too. I've been, sorry for running a little late today. I'm actually on location. I'm not at my house streaming. So when you take, there's so many cords and wires that you have to take with you that when I got, I'm actually at GL Clinic in Boca Raton. So I had to run home and get my stuff. And I'll tell you what, thank goodness for heart health. Because I don't have a good heart. Because Oh, no, yeah, I know, totally. I was just thinking about that. Because, you know, that's what gets you is the, the overwhelming part of it. So, but today, it's Valentine's Day, and did you forget today was Valentine's Day? You were telling me?
Yeah, I kind of forgot about it
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't have Valentine's, so I don't... Really,
I'm not
doing anything particularly romantic today, but
uh-huh.
It's one of those kind of holidays that you can't really take very seriously, you know?
Yeah. Well,
I have mixed feelings about it.
Well,
it's tough to take a day off to celebrate something special, but also it's not a big deal. Every day should be special too, so.
I think Valentine's Day just really, and it dawned on me talking about this yesterday on Social Chats AWC South Florida with Donna. I think what it is, you know, remember when you were a kid in school, the teacher got you to make like an envelope, you know, every kid had an envelope, and then, you know, for like the first 2 weeks of, 2 weeks prior to Valentine's, and, you know, you would bring, you would make each other Valentine cards, and then as you get older, you would bring little cards to each other, and you would like.
Yes, I do remember that.
Okay.
Do
you remember like being? I was like this. Do you remember like looking at some kids had more envelopes than the other kids, and it's kind of like a competition thing where you know how many more envelopes you can get, more Valentine's Day cards you can get. I think it stems from our childhood that we feel that, especially with girls, because I feel like it's such a crazy day for women, actually. And especially if they're in a relationship with someone, because if you forget Valentine's Day, or at least get someone a card. But I feel that when you're, as a child, you're so pressured to, get as many Valentine's cards as possible from your friends. That's just to show that they love you. They would give you Valentine's Day cards. And if you didn't have a lot compared to everyone else in your class, you felt left out. That's how I see it as.
But see, that's kind of like social media, right?
Yeah.
Because what if you got a bunch of, like, fake ones? The people
yep.
that really love you, but they feel obligated to give you one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's like having a million followers as opposed to 100 who really, really care about you. And I'd rather have less who really care than
many
who don't.
Exactly. It's quality, not quantity.
And I remember those days, and I had a lot of fun back in Central Elementary in Coral Gables doing that. And
so you know what I'm talking about.
And there was this boy that I remember particularly. His name was Sean, and I always I had a crush on him, and I always made him my next special one. How cute is that?
But did you get upset? Did he reciprocate? Did he, like...
But yes, so do you have anything special planned for today?
Well, actually, he's going to come over and hang out. We're going to order in. After 11 years, and we have had most of our major fights we've ever had in our relationship on Valentine's Day, which is now, you know, going on 11 years, we have just realized that we're making this... It's too much of a big deal. And I used to, when I was, in the beginning of our relationship, I just felt entitled that I should have more from him for some reason. So now I don't feel that way. I just kind of You know, he got me roses early ahead of he got me roses yesterday, actually. So he's going to come by tonight. And plus, he hasn't been feeling too well. He's been fighting a cold. So I just feel that, you know, instead of trying to stress him out.
Flowers, right?
Yeah, well, he got me flowers last Friday, and then now I got more flowers. So I think my house looks like either a funeral home or a florist. I'm not quite sure what it is. But, you know, I appreciate it. I throw out my rose petals every... I don't wait till my flowers die and throw them out. Every 4 to 5 days, I would throw out my rose petals. Can you hear me?
Breaking up.
Really? Oh, hold on. I'm in GL. That's probably why it's like, okay, let's see if we can get this stream correctly. How does this sound?
Better now.
Better. I'm just going to turn this. Yeah, so now we just kind of, you know, we chill on Valentine's Day. We don't try to get crazy about it. And we just, you know, I'm just happy that I'm in love and I have a great man, and that's it.
I was going to post something about Valentine's Day on my blog, but I ended up doing a story about the sommelier that I met last week.
Yeah, I was reading that.
And what my Valentine's Day post was going to be very simple. But I decided against it because it was just like, I had such a great story about wine and the sommelier, and I was like, who cares? But it was going to be simple. If you're in a relationship and, you know, appreciate it and nurture it and shut the fuck up. If you're not in a relationship, stop pitching and shut the fuck up. That was it. Like, two sentences.
Oh, my God.
I might post that on my Facebook, though.
Oh, my God. You're
because,
so funny.
Because really, it's like, just, I don't, you know, I don't want to hear it.
Well, that's why I had it when we had the opportunity to have Arnie and Michelle Rosa, owners of the Heart Desire International, an innovative solution consultant. I took advantage of that because, you know, I actually had the opportunity to sit in on their talk or lecture at your Heart Camp. And it was so profound to me, you know, because even though, you know, I can sit there and say, like, how great my relationship is with Scotty. But we do have different things in communication as far as we have different ways to communicate. And sometimes we understand each other and sometimes we don't. So one thing nice about this was
Yeah, and I think it's important to understand that, you know, it's not about being kind of pronounced the teachings. Just because you're having difficulty communicating on an issue doesn't mean the relationship is bad or its own. Mm-hmm. It means that there's still skill sets involved. Because none of us are born with a manual, you know. And we don't learn this in college. We learn everything else but this. So it's important to acquire these skill sets.
You know what? I think they're calling in right now. Hold on a second, okay? Hold on. Social chats, you're on the air.
Hi, to accept, press 1. To send a voicemail, press 2.
Hi, this is
Tony. To accept, press 1. Okay. To send a voicemail, press 2.
I did accept.
Hello?
Hi. Okay, I'm gonna have to, like, call them back. Hold on. I think that was them.
Hello?
Hi, Michelle? Hello, this is Tanya on Social Chats.
Hi, it's Michelle and Arnie Rosa.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Michelle and Arnie.
Hey, Tanya, how are you?
And Maria's on the line, too, Arnie. How are you?
Hey, Maria. What? Tanya, I'm doing good. And hi, Maria. Happy Valentine's
Day. Hey. Oh. Bye. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, we were just chatting about you guys, about relationship and communications. And actually, you know, the opportunity that I had to sit in your lecture really gave me like almost like a tune-up for my relationship. I always talk about how great my relationship is with my boyfriend, but sometimes we miss those different biological factors that I didn't even realize that it was such a difference in this. And when I was listening to your talk on the science of a relationship, it's not personal, it's biological. You know what? I had an aha moment, and I want to let you guys know that.
Well, I think people have had aha moments at Heart Camp.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give up that.
Yeah. What was your aha moment?
Well, I think as far as when you talked about how you think about things and how you guys, how Arnie deals with things and see things and how Michelle deals with things and see things. So, like, when I come home, when I'm like Michelle said, you know, I have all this stuff going on. I'm doing all this stuff. And when my boyfriend of 10 and a half years, who we don't live together, but we only see each other on the weekends, but we are around each other, when he gets around me, I am his relaxation. He doesn't want to sit there and deal with all kind of crazy stuff that's going on in my life, you know, that I talk about. And I had an aha moment where I just would get mad at him because I'm like, are you not listening to me? Are you not paying attention? But he's listening in a different way. And I think that was my aha moment. I think instead of getting mad, I kind of like put myself in his shoe and understood that by listening to Arnie and by listening to Michelle, I totally like, I could see where, what you guys are saying, and it made a lot of sense to me. And I think what happens, a lot of people tend to think about, what about me? What about me? That person's not listening to me. But really, if you really love that person and you put yourself in that person's shoe, and the way you guys talked about it and demonstrated it, it just made so much sense. Especially when you talked about the sock story. I mean, I love that. I have issues with the sock story too.
That's really great, and we were just having a conversation as we were listening to you online about how really this is why we do the talk. So we're so happy to hear that you had your aha moment, because the whole mission of this is really to close the gap between men and women so that we can understand each other better, and then instead of trying to change one another to think like the other person thinks or behave like the other person behaves, you know, the ultimate... For us, the ultimate demonstration of love is really accepting someone,
yes,
and letting them see exactly how they are and exactly how they're not. And it's such a gift that we give our partners when we can be like that. Now, we're not going to be like that 100% of the time because our humanity gets in the way, but the more we can be that way, the more love and fulfillment, passion, and intimacy you're going to experience in your relationship.
And that's what I love about that, your talk, because, but before we start... how are men and women neurobiologically different? Like that's one of the reasons when I was listening to your talk, it dawned on me that we are different. And here I'm thinking more physically we're different, never thinking neurologically, you know, as far as the brain is concerned, different.
Yeah, it's great, right? Because, so the first thing is that there's a lot of things that men and women have in common. You know, you look at our brains, you open the man up and you open the woman up, the brain looks pretty much the same. And there's a lot that we have in common. The brain looks a lot the same. But then when you start to get down to it and you do some of the biological research, then you start to see the configuration of the brain and the functions of the brain are somewhat different in some areas of development. And this goes all the way back to evolution. You know, there was a way that men had to develop the brain. You know, if you think about hunters and gatherers, you know, the guy was out there, you know, obviously bigger built, stronger, more apt to hunt game. So one of the things or the major differences between men and women when you look at the brains under the PET scans or the MRIs and the SPECT scans, which is basically they all look at the blood flow in the brain. One of the things that you see is that the male brain goes to rest a lot of times. And that, if you think all the way back in evolutionary terms, you know, when you're hunting game and you're after it for hours, if not days, until you get it, you know, there are times that you're basically doing nothing. And when you're doing nothing, you either go crazy or you just really go at rest. The other thing is that you're very focus-oriented. You know, we're focused on one animal out in the prairie, and then we're also focused on one single thing. So how does that translate into today's world, right? Because we have like the evolution, and how does it look in today's life? Well, guys are very single focused. We're just terrible at doing at multitasking. We like to tell you that we're great at multitasking, but any woman will tell you that lives with a man, we're not very good at multitasking. If I'm watching TV and I'm doing something and you ask me a question, I know it takes me a couple of seconds, if not Michelle saying, Arnie, I just asked you this, for me to realize, okay, she asked me a question, stop what I'm doing, think about how I'm going to answer, and then answer it correctly. So the opportunity here is for a woman, if you get really upset when you ask your husband a question, you have to ask him a couple of times before he answers, what are the things you want to look at if you're doing something when you're asking him something? Because if it's focused on like either the computer or a video game or fixing something particularly that it takes our attention or focus, chances are that it's going to take a little bit more time for us to be able to stop what we're doing and then answer your question and to even compute that you were asking us a question. Does that make sense to you, Tanya?
Oh, no. It totally does, actually.
Right, and so this is a point where a lot of times men and, you know, women get upset at men and then it triggers an argument. Like, you never listen to what I'm saying, I'm not important. And it really has nothing to do with that. It has to do with that we're very single focused. And that we really have to concentrate on some things, you know, at a time. Now, that doesn't mean that we're any less intelligent, and it doesn't mean that women are more intelligent than men. It just means that we're more apt to be very focused on something. The other thing with this can look is if you look at, you know, for the most part, men play way more video games than women.
Yeah, that's
true. Going back into, you know, back when we were hunting, you know, we had to be very good at seeing an object move across the field or move across and be able to track an object as it moves. So that's why video games are very attractive to men. And for you women, you might sit there and say, why is he sitting there playing this for hours and not get tired? Well, it just leads very much into what our brain looks for. It's kind of like eye candy for us. And I'll have Michelle share a couple of things about women.
Yes, and so building on what Arnie just said about going back to that time when we were hunters and gatherers, you know, that what was the gatherer doing? She was taking care of the people in the village. She was gathering berries to make sure there was something to eat until the men came back with the game. She was also taking care of the children. She was also making sure that they were safe, that there were no animals that could harm them. So she was gathering, watching, protecting, figuring out what they needed. And that's where the multitasking comes very much in hand for women. They were also communicating in the ways that they communicated because they were around each other. The men were sitting there waiting for prey. There wasn't a lot of conversation going on because they could scare it away. How that translates into today is, you know, women will talk more than men. And we bond by talking and we feel connected by talking. And we can also express our emotions a lot better than men can. And the biology behind that is that if you look at the brain, there are two hemispheres and in the middle, there's a cross section that helps to connect both sides of the brain and do what we call cross talking. So a woman may experience a moment of emotion and she's able to get in touch with that emotion and then even be able to process it and verbalize how she feels in that moment. She has seven different areas in her brain that allow her to do that cross-talking and that communicating of the emotion. The male brain has two sections. So that's why when you talk to your boyfriend or your husband or your significant other about something that's emotional, he may not respond as quickly as you think he should respond, and you might misinterpret that like he doesn't have anything to say about it, he doesn't care, but it really does take them a little bit longer to process that emotion. That's why we shared in Heart Camp that if I know there's something important or emotional to talk about with Arnie, I give him a heads up on that so that he has time to process, okay, this is going to be an emotional conversation, and he's focused on being able to listen while I'm expressing that. And then I just really have to be patient and know that he may not have an answer right now, but I guarantee you 10 minutes from now, an hour from now, he'll come back to that conversation.
Yes.
So once we understand that, that should help men and women communicate a little bit better. Because you know what, they don't teach you that actually. You're taught to say, okay, this is a man. He's built differently. But never I could have thought that just the way they process and communicate. I never thought that was such a big difference. But the way you guys explained it, it's in layman term, it makes a lot of sense.
Well, it also depends on your cultural norms. I mean, there are cultures where women are not even allowed to speak.
Yes, that's true.
So I think we're talking about like how it's developed and evolved in a more democratic world where men and women are now have more equal footing in terms of who brings in the bread. Because, you know, the the hunter-gatherer thing is part of our past, but obviously things have changed a lot. And so, you know, women do bring the bread home as well, and but those certain communication patterns, provided that our culture allows for them, still have to be worked on. And actually, I think it's not just men and women in romantic relationships. It's true of everybody, really.
Yes.
But just some people just don't talk the way you talk, right? And one can get frustrated, you know, and think that they're not listening to you. When in fact, they're just, you know, some people can multitask, some people can't. I hate multitasking, even though I'm a woman. But I am focused on, because I really like to listen. I'm a great listener, you know. So I think it's important for people to be aware of this, not just for romantic relationships, but for communication in general. That we all have different styles of listening and speaking.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you just hit in a very good point, right? Because when we talk about this, we're making a point to make sure that people get it this general. There's the nurture and then the nature, right? So we talk about the nature, you know, the place to start from. And then obviously your upbringing, you know, makes a difference. Your culture obviously also makes a profound difference in how we communicate in the world and how we operate as human beings, you know, individuals. And what we're talking about is kind of like a general sense, you know. And we do this talk also for corporations because we have men and women across, sitting across from each other in the boardroom, and the way that women communicate in a meeting is very much let's see. So women are very much by consensus. They'll tend to speak a lot, which is a great thing, right? They overly communicate from a man's perspective, but they communicate very well. They're very eloquent. They try to build consensus for an idea. I don't know if you've ever sat across, you know, in the boardroom with this explanation. And then a man would usually own the an idea, toss it out there, make sure he's a champion for it, is really not that much interested in getting consensus if there doesn't need to be consensus, right? And
yeah.
Again, this is generalities. I'm not talking about this being everybody.
Right. We're not stereotyping. We're talking about the science behind it.
You're right.
How does this translate in the everyday? You know, I'm just going to go back to something which I think is very important, particularly in Valentine's Day. I know that the only reference point we have is ourselves. So for a man, the only reference point he's got is the male in his perspective, and the same thing goes for a woman. I cannot emphasize enough how overwhelming it is as a guy, as I've gone through this. When Michelle and I were going through our breakup, you know, we broke up like two or three times before we ended up getting married, right? And it was sometimes very overwhelming for me to articulate things. And even when I'm at work and something happens, I get into an argument with my boss or something doesn't go the way I expected or I'm confronted by something, a lot of times I want to talk about it and it's almost like I can't. And then I go through what we call the shutdown or we go into the cave, and it's not necessarily that we want to do that, but that's the biology. It's almost like it doesn't come out, so we have to allow ourselves time to get it out there. And so for any man listening, it's not that we're any less equipped, it's that we just won't be able to say it at that moment, so we have to give ourselves time to process what needs to be processed. And then for women, you necessarily, you know, I request that you guys give us a little bit of time to work through and say, listen, I'm open to talk to you about this whenever you're ready. I understand that now might not be a good time. I'm available for you whenever you are, instead of trying to force the issue, which will eventually end up in an argument and upset and things being said that is not what you want to say.
That is so true, though. I agree with you. You're exactly right. And I know, you know, with women, we need to talk all the time. I do. And my boyfriend would just, just kind of not say anything, but when he does start talking, he won't stop talking. So, because it takes him a while, but once he gets it going, he won't stop. He just kind of continue talking about why we're arguing. But, that part of the relationship, I think a lot of people don't quite understand it. And I always think that it's not even just relationship, like you said, besides, you know, man and relationship, like couple relationship, but in any, like in a business, you know, I used to work for Toshiba. I sold copiers, actually. And I had 13 sales rep, and I was the only woman rep. And it was like the hardest job of my life because I could open my, I say something and was, you know, the owner of the company loved what I had to how I wanted to promote a certain copier, let's say. And, but the guys didn't like it because I was just too, I was talking too much compared to them. So I do understand it, what you're teaching right now, it does reflect incorporation. Because a lot of companies nowadays, if they spend time on their employees and educate them how to communicate with each other, I think we'd have a much more productive society besides corporation, personal relationships, and everything.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it's really great, Tanya. One of the other things that will be a lot more productive in is in the world of sex when it comes to men and women. You know, because a lot of times we don't realize that a lot of what we're talking about here, how we communicate, has a great deal to do with the biology of sex.
Yeah, for example, you know, we do approach sex differently, and a lot of the talks that we do is very important to understand that, because sex is an important part of the relationship. It's not everything, and it is very important. So how we approach sex differently can also impact the relationship and the people in the relationship. So, you know, one of the things we were talking about was the multitasking of a woman, and we've heard this from women, so I'm just going to share this analogy with you. You know, she comes home, and even in our house, right? Arnie comes home, takes off his clothes, sits in front of the TV, and he's resting his brain. He's had a long day. I come home, and I'm cooking. I'm reading my email. I'm looking at a TV program that I was interested in. I might even be talking to somebody on the phone at the same time. And I'm going.
But all the while, she tells me how tired she is and how much she wants to rest. And I'm thinking to myself, why don't you just sit down next to me and rest like I'm doing? But no, she's not doing that.
No, I'm not doing that because from my perspective is when I get everything done, then I'm going to rest. So I could be going to like midnight. And then what we hear from a lot of women is what this looks like in a lot of households is that she's finally going to get to rest for the first time in the whole day. And all of a sudden, he starts caressing her and kissing her shoulder, and she starts to think, how could he think that I have any energy left? Has he not seen how much I've done? He doesn't care how hard I've worked? And he's thinking, she's finally ready to relax. I know exactly the thing she needs. So all of a sudden, you have this problem that comes up for men and women where they don't understand that need to rest and that need to take the non-sexual intimacy is so important in that moment. The caressing to caress, the kissing to kiss. And I know for a man, it sounds like crazy talk. Why would I be cooking her if we weren't going to, you know, end up having sex? But if you learn to control your biology around that, she will come around. She will come around because she feels cared for and nurtured, which is very important for a woman. And then another important aspect here is that, and we use this analogy as well, men are like pressure cookers. They're ready to go at any time when it comes to sex, they're just ready. And women, we say, are like crock pots. It takes us a little while to heat up. It can take some women up to 30 minutes to get completely relaxed and aroused. So that's an important thing to understand in a relationship so that you don't take it personally because it is biological. And those differences are very important. They come up a lot of times in the boardroom, in the household when you're having conversations, and in the bedroom as well.
You know, I love that analogy, by the way.
Yeah, I've heard, I used to read some of David Data's work as well, and he uses a similar analogy. Like, men aren't just volcanic, I mean, pardon all the visual puns, but, and women are just more like, you know, take your time. But, you know, I hear what Tanya's saying. I know Tanya likes to talk a lot. I'm more of a listener. I guess maybe because of my writing.
Thanks, Maria.
But I think that what also, it's not just that we like to talk more, but when we want to, I think even more crucial is that when we want to talk it, we want it then. Like right now, I need this answer now.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. We have to be patient because you can't always get the answer you want when, you know, there. And so, and I think also that the women have to build some self-confidence and trust, and it's so important to have that trust in a relationship that you just say, okay, you know, he's not talking to me now, but I know he's going to talk to me later. And so that calms you down because, I mean, I've had relationships before where I just felt like I was never going to get an answer. And that really just breaks everything down just completely, because you lose trust, you lose confidence, and then you start thinking, well, what's wrong with me, and is it him, and it's, you know, it just becomes this whole huge cluster.
But you know, with me, sometimes I feel like I need to get it out, or because I have like I'm multitasking. I'm kind of triple multitasking actually, usually. And I need to, if I don't say what I need to say, I might forget it, or I might say it the wrong way when I want to say it. Does that make sense? It's like I just need to get it out of my system and then go on to the next thing.
Yeah, you know, you touch on so many things that we can go on and talk about here.
Yeah.
A couple things. One is that there are what we call bridge brains. So these are men and women who have a little bit of a crossover. So how this would look for a man is that it might be a man that is more open and articulate with his feelings. That he might be more, you know, if he saw a little kid running along and getting hurt, he might get up and see what happened. With a kid that's still just being, I said, okay, there's no blood, let him be, he'll take care of himself. Or be more open to actually listening for a longer period of time. One of the things that women have about them is that, you know, in about 45 seconds into a conversation, if there's no point in the conversation that's clear for me, I start to glaze over and I start to lose interest in the conversation. And then for women who are bridge brains, so women who are very good with spatial objects, you know, one of the things that the male brain is very good at is spatial objects. This is why, you know, when I go into a parking lot, Michelle cringes and closes her eyes, looks the other way because she thinks I'm going to hit the other car. Yeah. And then when Michelle is driving, I no longer get upset at Michelle that she's got to back up a couple of times before actually pulling into the parking space. I'm thinking, what is she doing? But I know that the way she perceives the object, the car and the other car and the space between them, is different from how my brain sees it and how my eyes see it. So this is some of the things that they can really see. Okay, we have to give each other a little bit more space and start to get the world from the other person's perspective. And then one more thing, if I may, from what you were talking about, you know, in relationships, there's always two people, at least. So you want to make sure that, you know, one of the workshops that we do is the rules of engagement. Given who your partner is, given the biology, and then given how the person grew up, and given, you know, however it is that they live their life, you want to start to create rules of engagement for your relationship. How is your relationship going to work? For example, Michelle and I, we don't yell at one another. We don't curse at one another. We don't use curse words, not because we're more prudish than anybody else, but because we just don't. We chose not to do that. So if ever we get into an argument and then our tone starts to go off and we may say something out of turn, we'll stop the action and say, listen, this is not the way we agreed that we were going to communicate.
Yeah, and another aspect of that, and this is something that I know is very important to women, because if you are in a discussion that starts to get heated or even turn into an argument, now you're dealing with emotions, anger, upset, disappointment. The man may want to stop the conversation, or it may seem like he stopped listening. And one of the rules of engagement that we have in our relationship is that it's okay to call a timeout. It's okay to say, you know what? Let's go ahead and stop this before we get to a point where someone's going to have to apologize for something they don't mean to say. And we know that part of our agreement is that we will come back and revisit the issue. It's not going to be left unresolved, because I think a lot of times, going back to your point, is you want to get your point across, because you're afraid that if you don't say it then, it's not going to be resolved. So imagine the peace that brings into a relationship, knowing that you don't have to be afraid that if this person is walking away from this conversation, it means this is going to be unfinished. That there's a commitment there to finish it, just when we're both ready, calm, and able to listen to one another and what each other has to say. And then there's no need for yelling, and there's no need for raising the voice. A lot of times we raise our voice because we think we're not getting through, or we're not being heard. It's not always because we're upset.
That's true.
If I just mean, this could very well be a turning point for people. If you are in a relationship where the way that it's been in the past is that if you just yell at one another or insult one another or something like that, you can very much stop that and say, look, from this day forward, this is the way how we're going to communicate with one another. And then you also have to give each other a little bit of space that it may not be a smooth transition and you might fall back into old patterns. But for the most part, the commitment is there. You can get to say how your relationship is going to go. No one else gets to say that. You do.
So, from today's show, this, let's say, what is one thing, let's say, for a woman that you think that, that a woman should remember, and what's the one thing that a man should remember out of all this?
From a woman's perspective, remember that he's not a hairy woman, and that he is a man. And also, if there's anything that I've learned that women take away and it makes the biggest difference in their relationships, whether they're single and starting a relationship or in a relationship, it's remember how important it is for a man to feel respected and admired. It is the most important thing to a man. So if we're nagging or criticizing, or we're not really letting them know how much we appreciate what our partner's doing, then they're going to not be able to experience that respect and that appreciation. And they really do relate to respect and appreciation the way that women relate to love.
Yeah, you may actually say that men experience love a lot of times through respect. If you notice how men love one another, how we bond with one another, is we bond with one another with a mediating object. This goes, you know, so what does that mean? That goes back to where, you know, when hunting, notice that when guys talk to one another, we're either throwing a ball around, or we're smoking a cigar, or we're fishing side to side. Women bond and express love, eye contact to eye contact, close, knee close, a lot of touching, you know, very bodily, leaned in, into one another. Men experience bonding and love with one another, side to side, and sometimes the banter that we have is through, that's how we experience love with one another. I'm gonna cut you down so I know you're strong enough to withstand whatever life has to throw at you.
You know what?
It goes back to what your question was about men. One of the things that men want to remember is you never want to invalidate a woman's feelings. You know, for us, we may not understand why she's so hyper about this, why she's so upset, why she's so emotional about this. Like, we call it drama. But that's the one thing that women, they're really upset in that, and it really impacts the relationship is when a woman feels that she's invalidated. And it's almost like we're withdrawing the love from them when we invalidate their sense of self or their feelings.
That, you know what, that you have touched, you're so right. Like, because the men, the way how they show their respect for each other is by bantering with each other. And you know, sometimes I catch, you know, after I left you guys' lecture, I was like, I realized that more than ever, so I'm more conscious when I talk to my boyfriend of how I talk to him so that he doesn't come across that I'm disrespecting him. I'm making him feel bad that he's not providing enough or doing enough for me. So, I mean, that's one thing. When I walked away from Heart Camp, I realized that a lot more. So,
wow, that's great.
Yeah.
That is really, really going to make a difference in your relationship. You probably already started to see the difference.
Oh, yeah.
Before we had also, you know, that men like to be respected and admired, but when the man respects his woman's emotions, that's also a form of respect. You know, it's a form of respect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That it's a way that, and who doesn't want to be respected? I mean, that's true of everything. That just someone putting down your feelings, I don't care how crazy and dramatic they are, but just like just stepping back and going, okay, that's where she is. Let me just accept that and embrace her, even if there's a hurricane going on. it helps you feel like, well, okay. So at least you acknowledge it. Right. Even if it's ridiculous, you know, because that's that whole trust thing again. And I think that's been like the core. Like if I went down, you guys are teaching now, years ago, I'd probably be married to that boyfriend right now.
Aww.
These were exactly the problems that we had. But you know, it's life. You have Monday morning quarterback last decade, right? The next relationship, you can be rest assured that I will apply these principles. I already apply them anyway in my professional and real friendships, you know. But, and also in my yoga training, I learned a lot of this directly.
you know, patience and all of that stuff. But yeah, absolutely. I think that's incredibly important. It's mutual respect and admiration. If you're in it, you might as well respect each other. What's the point otherwise?
Well, I feel that people should go to you guys because you guys are great for giving couples a tune-up. You know, remember that movie, Mr. and Mrs. Smith? At the end of it, they're talking to someone and they're just there for their tune-up. And I feel like, you know, what you have said and all the, you know, the lecture that I heard at Heart Camp, I had at that moment, I was like, I wish my boyfriend was here. This would be such a great tune-up for us because like anything you do, you're from a perfect running car to yourself to anything, you always have to go get a checkup. You should always have a tune-up because that's how you keep it going. And you might as well continue doing that and apply all these teaching. But also, you know, at least once a year, have a tune-up. And I find that what you guys talk about is such an eye-opener. So before we go, I wanted to find out, where can our listeners find out more about the service you offer? Because I know you guys do a couple, you do singles relationship, and I think you're perfect for corporation. I think this, you know, communication within the corporation is so important. So can you tell a listener how they can get a hold of you?
Absolutely. Listeners can get a hold of us by visiting our website, which is heartsdesireintl.com. That's heartsdesireintl.com. And you'll be able to find out about two very special events we have going on. This week, actually starting tomorrow, we have a free teleclass for single women called Attracting and Marrying the Man Who's Right for You and Creating the Relationship of Your Dreams.
Nice.
And that's tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can register to the free class by visiting our website. And then on Thursday at 9 p.m., we have one for girlfriends and wives.
Oh.
So Creating the Relationships of Your Dreams, and that's also at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So I really, you know, I love what you said. You didn't know what you didn't know when you were in that relationship. And here we have, you know, the opportunity to learn whether you're single, what can I do differently now so that I can attract the man who's right for me, and whether you're a girlfriend or a wife, what can I learn now that's going to add to the intimacy, the passion, and the fun, and the romance, and the relationship I'm already in, or reignite it if it's gone out.
I love it. So thank you. And you guys are going to have it on your Facebook page, too?
Yes, you will have it also on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook at Hearts Desire International and on Twitter at Hearts Desire INT.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
And you
are
having a support retreat in June, right? Absolutely. We have an international retreat, the Lifelong Romance Mastery Retreat. It's for women, by women. It's all about being women. And it's going to be a lot of great speakers, a lot of great activities. It's all about pampering ourselves and celebrating women and celebrating the power that we have to inspire love in our partners, whether they're already with us or they're on their way. And you can also find out information about that. That's June 22nd through the 24th on our website.
And is that going to be in Miami?
It's going to be right here in Miami, and we're also going to have some workshops, face-to-face workshops in March and April. So, you know, we have a lot going on, and it's all inside of our commitment that every man and woman deserves to be loved, cherished, and appreciated, and experience the love they've always wanted in this lifetime.
Will you guys I'm going to get the calendar. I'm going to email you after the show, but we want to get you guys on before each one of those.
Great. We would love that. Cause... Absolutely. And stay tuned for the seminars for men because they're coming soon.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Again, Michelle and Ari, thank you so much. And I really appreciate everything you guys have said today. And thank you for taking the time to chat with us.
Thank you so much. It's our pleasure.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I'd like to say for everybody out there listening to your show, great show. Thank you so much for having us on.
Thank you. You guys have a great day, okay? Bye. Happy Valentine's Day.
Bye, Maria.
Bye, Maria.
Tanya, let's stay on for a couple
of
minutes, if we can.
Yes, we are. Hold on, Maria. I'm not done with You know what? I can never do my own phone. I'm sorry. Okay.
Can you turn off the phone?
No. I'm getting ready to. I'm going to close out the show right now. So, Maria, that was an awesome show, and I'm going to go ahead and say goodbye to everyone. But before I go, I want to make sure... I wish a few people happy birthday, actually a couple. Today is Craig Singer's birthday, and I'm hoping to see him tomorrow. at his office. Happy birthday, Craig. He's a phenomenal chiropractor, a good friend of mine. And Jeffrey Smith, happy birthday. Maria, you have anyone that you want to do a shout-out to?
I do not have a birthday, but I do have a couple of announcements.
Okay. Yes.
The first one is I'm actually kind of funny, but I'm accompanying Carlos Miller tonight. He's going to be on TV.
Oh.
Spanish TV, America TV, with Oscar Asa. The show is called Amano Limpio.
Oh, okay.
So I don't have a Valentine, but I can't be on the TV show. where I'm going to help, I'm going to be part of that. He's going to be talking about his recent arrest, so it's kind of a big deal. It's going to be in Spanish, but it will be televised live.
Awesome.
And then I'm also trying to champion this cause. It's called SaveOurMassachusettsHammocks.com.
Okay.
They're trying to build this huge boat yard in my favorite park, and there's a huge community concern about this. So people can check it out at SaveOurMassachusettsHammocks.com.
Awesome. Yeah, I saw that on your, I think on your Facebook.
Yeah, we have a social, I'm trying to volunteer for this, doing a social media campaign. We'll have a photo day on Sunday, March 4th. Everyone can gather at the park at 2 p.m. And we're just going to take pictures and experience the beauty of the park. So,
wow.
And we can talk maybe a little bit more about that next week.
Yeah.
On Najee Day on the show. He does a lot of art projects with me, and he has one in Fort Lauderdale.
No, definitely.
That we can talk about.
You know, and also, you know, I wanted to say that nowadays, and when we talk about this next week, I'll pull up the article, but they're saying that iPhone photography is considered a contest now. They're making contests for iPhone photography. So,
yeah. It's crazy. It's like a huge social network.
Yeah.
I did. And Jamie Coffey, who's my friend, and she is kind of a leader in Miami, the whole Instagram community. So we hope to have a bunch of people there, and it's not a protest. Let's actually go there and see how beautiful it is, and do we really want more development there?
Exactly.
So I actually have, I went to the meetings with the developers, and I don't have a problem with this building. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great building. I mean, boatyards are necessary in marine communities. It's just not. Don't put it there.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think most people feel that way. Nothing personal against the developers. It's just that don't touch Massachusetts, because it really is our last little, nearly pristine bit of nature in urban Dade County. So that's my Valentine for the world. It's my love for nature.
Aww.
And the park. So.
That's so
beautiful.
I may not
get late today, but at least I can help save
the park. Oh, Maria. Okay, guys, have a great day. Maria, stay on the line. I'm going to close the player. Chat with you guys tomorrow with myself and my BFF and co-host, Sandra Lopez, who is here. Say hi, Sandra.
Hi.
So we will be on tomorrow. So show chats, no aging.
Bye.
Bye.